Conventional storytelling doesn't always get the message across. It is exploring this element of our culture that doesn't really get talked about or criticized enough. By the end, it doesn't really come to any conclusions. Check it out if you want to. Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Movie Club, a podcast that is unafraid and unashamed to watch weird, weird movies. Let me explain what I mean by that. Earlier this week, I was perusing through the old streaming service lineup here. I got on Max and started scrolling through and noticed that they had a category specifically dedicated to A24 films. Now, if you're unfamiliar with A24 as a studio, let me give you a brief little summary of A24 and what they do. A24 is not a film studio. They are a movie distributor in that what they primarily do is fund and distribute independent films. So it's slightly different. A24 does not have a creative team like at Disney or at Warner Brothers, that is going through and working through, all right, these are the movies that we are working with, and these are the ones we're going to create. These are the ones that we need to find producers and directors and writers for and such, you know, and stuff like that. That's not what A24 is doing. A24 is receiving pitches from independent filmmakers and from there, funding and distributing those projects. And so, as a result, A24 has really established itself as an art house film company in a way, because since they are working with independent films rather than studio influenced films, there's not really any influence going on from the parent company of these films. That's the shtick of A24, is they allow for the director to carry out their entire vision for the film without any outside influence. And as a result of that, you get some really weird, creepy, messed up movies sometimes, because that's what people are interested in putting out there. But at the same time, you also get some masterpieces that you might not have gotten otherwise. Everything Everywhere All at Once was a film that was funded and distributed by A24. Lady Bird was also an A24 film. Last year, The Iron Claw was an A24 film. Ex Machina by Alex Garland is an A24 film. Hereditary, Midsommar, Bo is Afraid. These are all films that come from this company. And as a result, it really paves the way for some of our current most prolific filmmakers to really establish themselves in the industry as the best of the best, really. I mean, it's through A24 that we really are exposed to Greta Gerwig, to Alex Garland, to Ari Aster, to The Daniels, and to Yorgos Lanthimos. And the approach here is, I'll tell you what they're not doing. They're not slapping $200 billion budgets on all of these movies. They're still all, because they're independent films, they're all still fairly low budget, but it creates a space for the really good ones to get through and into the public circuit so that they can make all the returns on the box office that they need in order to continue to create films. So from this company, you're unlikely to get a lot of franchises, sequels, well-known IP-driven movies. That sort of thing isn't really going to happen in this circumstance because it's a space for creatives to create in hopefully a lucrative manner rather than a major corporation that is purely financially driven and making all of their creative decisions purely financial. So far, it's worked out pretty well for them. Since the company started in 2012, they've been nominated for 55 Academy Awards and have won 16 as a company as a whole. Just last year, in 2023, A24 had 6 films nominated for Academy Awards. Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Whale, After Sun, Causeway, Close, and Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. Additionally, particularly for people that really like movies and that really get into film, the A24 logo is a very welcome sign on just about anything because it means that what you're about to watch has a lot of creative backing behind it and the likelihood of it being enjoyable is very high. But like I said, while a lot of masterpieces come from it, a lot of the stuff they put out is very odd. It's very weird. It's going to challenge a lot of people's perceptions of what makes good film, I think. Because for the first time really ever, it's a studio that is taking these kinds of weird, high-concept movies and putting them directly in the public eye, and it's making it possible for these movies to perform well financially. And because these movies frequently challenge us as far as what we're able to take in creatively, many times, some things are not very well received. Last year, Beau Is Afraid was pretty poorly received on a wide scale. I enjoyed it, but a lot of people couldn't get on board with it. And, you know, to an extent, I understand that. But one of my personal pet peeves is using weird as an excuse to not like something. Kind of drives me crazy sometimes. Again, I've said before that I firmly believe that not liking something is acceptable, but it's not an indicator that something is bad. The indicator that a movie is bad is incompetence. And if you can develop the eye to perceive incompetence rather than simply a perspective or a vision that you don't fully understand, you can choose not to like it. That's fine. But you can't call it objectively bad because ultimately there is in there something for someone. And a lot of times, especially since we have such a saturated Hollywood right now, a lot of the more challenging stuff does get disregarded very quickly by people simply because they don't want to put in the mental energy to interpret what's going on. And look, again, if that's not your thing, I totally understand that. But I will say this, that by choosing to view it that way, I think we are often choosing to deprive ourselves of perspectives and ideas that can affect the way that we view things. Things that can change our worldview and potentially make us better people. Because at its heart, that's what I believe most film is actively trying to do. It's trying to open people's minds and introduce difficult conversations and ideas for people to consider. The reason something might come out a little bit weird is because since we live in an unconventional world, conventional storytelling doesn't always get the message across the way it needs to be gotten across. If we tell every story in the same way, it's eventually we're going to run out of perspectives to look at things from. So when movies get a little bit weird, or out of our comfort zone, rather than disregarding it as weird, we might do a little bit better to look at it as an opportunity to challenge ourselves, our own media literacy, and to see what new we can glean from that kind of a thing. Now, the reason I bring all of this up is because as I was perusing the A24 section of Max the other day, I happened upon a movie by Yorgos Lanthimos, the director of Poor Things from last year, a movie that I loved. I happened upon a movie he made back in 2015 called The Lobster. Now, I had heard of The Lobster, but I knew nothing about it as far as the story or the theming or anything like that goes. All I knew is that a lot of people who did see it said it was really, really weird. So I was a little bit busy. I was doing some things. I was cleaning some things up in my hotel room, and I decided to flip it on as background noise. Guys, let me tell you, I did not get anything done because that movie locked me right in. Is it weird, do you ask? Oh, it's weird. It's very weird. An unconventional love story. In a dystopian near future, single people, according to the laws of the city, are taken to the hotel, where they are obliged to find a romantic partner in 45 days, or they are transformed into beasts and sent off into the woods. Yeah, so it's against the law to be single. And if you can't find a romantic partner at the hotel in 45 days, you are transformed into an animal and released into the wild. Guys, it's pretty freaking weird. But look, here's the thing. Yes, it's weird, but also it is exploring this element of our culture that doesn't really get talked about or criticized enough. And it's this idea that base happiness of mortality comes from marriage. It comes from having a romantic partner that you are involved with. The movie, I'll tell you this, the movie is certainly not saying it's wrong to be married. And it's also not saying, you know, it's not saying it's wrong to be married. It's not saying it's right to be single. It's also not saying it's right to be married and wrong to be single. What it's doing is it's challenging the social approach to these issues. So the main character, his wife leaves him. He has to check into the hotel, and he tells them right at the beginning that if he doesn't make it through the 45 days, then the animal he wants to be turned into is a lobster, because lobsters live for over 100 years. They're creatures of the sea, and he loves the sea, and lobsters remain fertile for their entire lives. So that's his reasoning, and that's what he chooses if he doesn't make it. The movie follows him through the hotel at first, trying to get acclimated, jumping through all the hoops the hotel makes him jump through, and then eventually attempting to court various women in the hotel to try and find a romantic partner. So it deals with these things. It deals with the weird social things that we deal with when we're looking for a partner. The rules of the hotel are you have to have something in common with them. Lying is an offense that will get you turned into what they describe as the most undesirable animal of them all. It never says what it is, but there are very strict rules against lying and against masturbating and against, you know, all these different things that in a way we are sort of dealing with in society, but not necessarily as on intense of a scale as it is in the movie. But eventually in the movie, he escapes from this hotel and joins a group of quote unquote loners, who are people that have decided to be single and are on the run from the hotel. Likewise, these people are very dedicated to being single, being on the run, not being tied down in the hotel. And lo and behold, it's there that our main character finds someone he falls in love with. And that creates problems because among the loners, it's inappropriate to be in a relationship. So it's this constant challenging of this idea of romantic relationships versus being single. And look, it's a dark comedy. Weird things happen. Violent things happen. And a lot of people are averse to that kind of stuff. But the thing is, those things exist because it represents something along the discussion that the movie is trying to have with the audience. It's all a part of the themes. And I mentioned before how other major plot points involve things like honesty with the person that you are in the relationship with. Can you build a relationship off of faking anything or not being truthful about the kind of person that you are, the kind of qualities that you have? Can you be compatible with someone who you don't share any qualities with? Do you have to have something in common with them? And all of these are ideas and thoughts that are presented throughout the movie. It's really a great movie. Is it weird? Yeah, it's super weird. The discussion going on is so interesting and so competent that it makes it really enjoyable. It's one of those things where every scene, every bit of dialogue, every bit of staging that you see is purposeful. It's all meaningful and working towards the goal of opening up that conversation. And look, by the end, it doesn't really come to any conclusions. And a lot of weird movies don't. A lot of weird movies are simply exploring the ideas. They're not making hard and fast statements about what is right and about what is not right. They're making observations about ways that society uses these kinds of things to oppress people or to bind them down into very specific ways of life, but it's not necessarily commenting on what the right thing to do is. It's simply going, hey, this is something that happens in society. Let's talk about it. And those kinds of movies are often the most profound because it challenges us to think more deeply about an issue. And if you ask me, it's very bold of it to decide not to tell us what to think on an issue and to trust itself enough and to trust us as an audience enough to watch it and allow it to simply get us to think about it on a deeper level. That's one of the things that I love about movies like this. And it's not even necessarily that it's a challenge to watch, because I don't think it's a challenge to watch. I don't think you have to sit there and like numb your mind over it forever in order to get the concepts and the themes that it's going for. Like, you can watch it passively and get all of that. But what it's doing is it's causing us to think. It's critical thinking. And if you ask me, what we lack as a society the most right now is critical thinking. And movies that encourage and cause critical thinking, those are the kinds of movies we want to pay attention to. So I think it's brilliant. I think Yorgos Lanthimos is brilliant. It really is worth the watch, I think. Content warning, I mentioned some violence in there. There's a little bit of sex and nudity in there, and you know, which is to be expected in a Yorgos Lanthimos movie. I will say it's far less than, say, Poor Things. Not nearly on that level, but man, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really cool diversion from normative storytelling. The discussion it's bringing up, it's not just profound, it's also very timely to me as a single man in my, you know, mid-20s. I'm privy to this kind of discussion. Especially since I come from a culture that is very big on people getting married fairly young. And again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not even saying the movie is saying that that's a bad thing. All it's doing is saying this is a mindset that exists in society, and this is the way some people respond to that. What kind of conversation can we open up to make it a more productive discussion or to make it a more productive or to make the societal implication of these to make the societal implication of these things more productive for people rather than destructive for them. Check it out if you want to. I think it's a great, great watch. And it's weird. It's weird. And look, it's not just the idea that they're going to turn into animals if they don't find a partner. It's also just the way people are acting. Everyone speaks in a very matter-of-fact, stoic way where they say exactly what they're thinking and they're not expressing a lot of bombastic emotion. Everything is very interpersonal, very stoic, and very childlike in a lot of ways. And that's important because I think the childlike nature of the performances adds to this idea that, look, we are telling fairly young people that they need to make this commitment as soon as and as fast as possible when they're really still children and they're still just trying to figure things out. They don't fully have a grasp of the world. They're not well-versed in the nuances of a long-term dedicated relationship. And additionally, older couples, and the movie deals with this too, older couples that have gotten into these kinds of things aren't necessarily always the happiest with that decision. I think it's a valuable discussion for society to have, which is another reason why I liked the movie so much. It's willing to talk about those things that are a little difficult, but that we all maybe to some degree have picked up on, and it's not telling us what to think. It's simply asking us to think. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Jimmy's Movie Club is recorded, edited, and produced by me, Jimmy Henderson. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. You can find me on Letterboxd at Jimmy Henderson, that's JimmyHenderson, or on Instagram at Jimmy Henderson Actor. And finally, if you enjoy the sultry sound of my voice, I have another podcast called Follow Spot that I host with my good friend, Ben Butters. See you next time.